Welcome back to The Hunt Experience. I'm Cody Gann.
And I'm Chris Brewer. This show was brought to you by Camel Family Outdoors and Whitetail Property Management.
Well, today, Chris, we got some big announcements.
New equipment on the property.
We got new equipment and
new gear
and dead equipment. So, So we got. Let's start with the negative before we attack the positive.
Go ahead and spell. I remember getting that text, man. It's like, gosh, are you serious?
So at the end of our last podcast, we talked about the new pond project I'm doing and diving into.
Slash berm slash entry.
Yes, yes. Many things. Yes. Yeah. So I had my dad and brother's D6C dozer. It's an older dozer.
Yeah.
Had some issues with it, so we've kind of been fixing this and fixing that.
You're on the verge to discovering the problem.
Yeah. And so I got it out there and was starting to clear in some of the sections of wood I have left. I don't have a whole lot of woods left,
but,
to make the pond even bigger. Yeah. And all of a sudden, I get a kind of like a knocking, tapping noise. And I thought, ooh.
We've been there before.
This is not good. Yeah. Unfortunately, this is not my first time. So I thought, man, I got to get this thing back to my house, you know. And I made it just behind my building out there.
Yeah.
Made a loud screeching sound and died. And then you can try and turn the motor over. No go.
Yeah.
So all those grand plans I had with the dozer.
Yeah, that's a bad deal for everybody involved.
I know. Yeah. So it's like, of course, it's not mine. I was operating it.
Yeah.
You know, so I've got to take care of what I need to take care of on my end, you know, as far as with dad and brother. I haven't decided. We're not sure if we're going to try to fix it. It sounds really serious, like crankshaft serious.
Yeah. May have half of its worth and just getting it back going.
Well, and that's what me and dad talked about. It's like, golly, man, that dozer is a 68 model. If you would even want to put that kind of money.
Exactly, yeah.
But, you know.
I wouldn't personally, but I mean.
Yeah, you know, it's one of them things, man. It's like, golly. So at this point, if I decide to go forward with the pond, which is really what I want to do.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to just rent. I guess I'm going to have to rent a machine at this point. So
it might be your safest bet. Get the rental insurance and whatever you got to get on that.
Yeah. I want hazard insurance on it.
You know, fire hazard, water, or whatever.
Park it out there, a tree fall on it or something. Oh my gosh. So anyway, that kind of put skids on the old pond plan right now.
Yeah,
so
that's rough because you're about to get to the point right here after fireworks season, you're probably going to start digging.
Huh? Oh, yeah. And that was the whole plan. I was going to get everything prepped, man, and just roll out there and start pushing dirt. And
it's
like, oh, my gosh. So I don't know yet what exactly I'm going to do, but I'm going to halt for a little while because I don't really have any other choice at this point.
Yeah, that's a heartbreaker. I forgot what we were texting about that night, and you said, I think the dozer just locked up.
Yeah.
I'm like, you got to be kidding.
I couldn't believe it, man. I mean, it was running fine. And
It sounded like a beast when I saw you running it. And I don't know, when was that? That was a while back when you first got it on the property, I guess. But
man, that motor had been worked on, and the head had been worked on. So I don't know what exactly went down, but a little defeating. But
yeah, it's not good. Not to mention it was going to be. Well, still can be, but you don't have to rent a machine if you had that. I mean,
oh, I know.
Cool fishing pond, and then plus the access. Issues.
It was going to save me a ton of money is what it was going to do.
Oh, yeah.
But, oh, well, hey, we got better news to talk about, right?
Yeah, better news.
That's the downer side.
The bad, and the ugly. We started with the bad. I'll be the ugly, and then I'll talk about the good.
So tell me what you just did.
Well, I made what did we add up? I think it was close to 14 hours by the time I got back to the house. Went to Kingdomville, Missouri. So let's see. I went to where did we go?
Kingston,
Missouri, for turkey hunting.
Yeah.
Then I went to Kirksville, Missouri, for turkey hunting, back to back weekends. Then I think I took a weekend off and went to Kingdomville, Missouri.
You got all the K's.
I just put that together actually. I looked and looked and called and messaged and. These people had the best price. They would kind of finagle me out of the sales tax side of it. And so that's where I went. But even on the drive up there, I was still trying to put together deals over the phone for a place closer to me.
Right.
And it just didn't pan out. And these guys were super cool, man. Two dudes up there said I probably could have made it home in like 12 hours, but they were deer hunters. So we got to talking about the podcast. He was showing me his computer with pictures on it. I was showing him his phone, my phone with pictures on it. We were talking about deer and planting and crimping. And next thing you know, it's like, dude, I gotta go.
I'm going to get home tonight. Yeah, I got
to
go.
I got to go. I still didn't have the thing chained down yet. So, yeah, Kingdomville, Missouri on Monday. I guess I left probably about 6, got home about 8.
So what exactly did you get?
We ended up with, after, gosh, I've been looking at these things for like 2 months. There was three major brands out there that I was looking at. And it was a Tar River, a Great Plains, and the Genesis. And I ended up with the Genesis because it's compact. Some will pull behind. Made a deal on this thing, went up there and got it. It's a no-till drill, which you know how we normally do. I normally till, then I spray,
yep.
Then I till again, and then I'll fertilize, and I'll till again. So, you know, it's a lot of tilling, and it's rough.
Yeah.
My place more so than yours.
Yep.
But, yeah, we've been thinking about this for a while, kind of dreaming about it, actually.
Well, so. It was funny because me and you were – maybe on our turkey trip, I don't remember. And I was like, you know what we need, man? Like one of these days, you know what we need?
Yeah.
And I said, man, wouldn't it be cool to have a no-till drill?
Yeah.
And you're like, dude, you ain't gonna believe this.
Yeah.
I just was thinking about that.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we were talking about it on that trip, and it's like,
yeah.
We talked about it a little more, and the next thing I know, Chris is like, dude, I'm getting one.
Yeah.
It's like, what?
Well, and then so the other thing, I made my second trip back up there, the guy that he has a shop, and he had like the little storage building that Luke and I stayed in.
Mm-hmm.
Well, out back is all of his implements. And I told you in the previous podcast, or the one about turkey hunting, that's what he does. He does land management for all these people.
Right.
They own land in northern Missouri, but they live in Texas or Wisconsin or whatever. So he maintains these things. Well, he had a Genesis, some type of John Deere, and like a Great Plains deal there.
So he's
like, man, the John Deere's pretty legit, but it's a big tow behind. You know, you fill up each individual hopper with it. He's like, but the Genesis, it's like you can throw all your seeds. So I was a message to him about it. I said, hey, man, give me your honest opinion about this thing. He's like, dude, it's pretty legit. He's like, now, don't go into it your first season thinking you're going to save a whole lot of time because you got to get used to it,
sure.
How to set it up, how to calibrate it,
sure.
Making sure your depths are right. When you go to the next food plot, you may be planting too deep. You have to change it again. But once you cycle through that and you have it in your mind, like, all right, set it on an inch here or 2 inches here. And, you know, he recommended, you know, a hydraulic top link. So you can make minute adjustments on it pretty easily with a hydraulic top link versus cranking. But so anyway, I was on my way up there and he called me. Out of the blue. Hey, man, what are you doing? You ain't going to believe this.
I'm
almost back to you again.
Really?
He's like, yes, I'm going to get one, man. He's like, good for you. So we talked for probably 45 minutes on the drive up there. Super good, super cool dude. But he was telling me all kinds of pointers on how to use them.
Right.
And, you know, but he's primarily a clover guy on all these plots he does. And then,
he's turned all the way down, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he uses his bigger one, obviously, for on his own personal farms, rotating out beans and corn. So he uses that big John Deere one for that, which, I mean, that thing he had up there was 20 feet wide.
Massive.
Or something like that. Yeah. The Genesis is kind of what I settled on because, you know, my place, I got those little kill plots, too. So it's like it's a 3-point. You know, it's not a toe behind.
Right.
Pick it up, get in those tight spots, boom, back up, make it row. So that's what we settled on after, you know, lots and lots and lots of video watching, reading.
Yeah.
Talking to that farmer was pretty cool. He had some pretty good information. Somebody that actually owns one, you know.
Yeah, yeah. That's the best information, man, right there, for sure.
So a lot of the people that I was talking to, they have what they call coulters on the front of them. So it's basically a tiller or a disc on front of them.
Right.
And, but they want, you know, quite a bit more money for that
sure.
version. And it weighs quite a bit more. And he's like, dude, you don't need those. Like, they're a waste of time. This thing weighs so much. It's going to go into the ground, make the slice, drop your seed and cover it up. So like, don't waste your money on them. So that was a good pointer because it was something I was tossing around. There was a guy that had one like 4 hours this side of me that had the Coulters on it, but it was more money. Like, man, do I save 4 hours? Because I may need those. And he called me and he was like, nah, you don't need those
things. You don't need them.
According to him. I mean, like I said, he's like, now I don't know your ground, but he's like, it's got to be pretty hard packed in clay before you would need to, you know, tear it up.
You won't have any issues here.
Yeah. I'm no. kind of sandy.
Yeah. Nah. No, you won't.
So, yeah. So that's what we ended up with. I mean, this thing, it'll do. We got the smaller version because my tractor is only a 40 horse. So the 5 would have been cool, but I forgot it weighs 2,500 pounds.
That's heavy. Yeah.
I think this one's 15, 16 or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it'll do, it'll still do 5 rows at a time.
That's pretty good, man.
Yeah. No, I think so. 5 rows. And the spacing's like 7.5 inches apart. So, which we kind of talked about that. I was like, man, we may
double up.
We may not overlap as much, or we may go one direction and come back and cross it up, or, you know, do something a little different to
get that thickness.
I don't know. You know, I just don't know enough about it because I've never done it this way before. 7.5 inches with our mixture may be great. But.
All right. So for those that don't know, and of course I had to educate myself because I didn't, a no-till drill means that you do not have to disc the ground,
yeah.
right?
No disking, no tilling, no nothing. So, yeah, I mean.
You can roll up to a field, essentially.
Yeah.
And sow seed in directly into the field, right?
Right.
That's the idea behind it.
Yeah. So a drill, they call it a drill because I've always, you know, watched the videos of like, you know, all the switchgrass videos I watch, like, man, we had our switchgrass drilled in. It does so much better than trying to sow it in. It's drilled in, drilled down. Like, what are they talking about? So basically two discs that are touching at the bottom and have like an inch gap at the top. And so it slices the ground open. Drops the seed in there, and then the big wheels behind it come and cover that up.
Close it.
Yeah. So
nice.
Then this one, it's it goes 1/2 inch, 1 inch, and then 2 inch of the depth settings on it. And then I played with it some last night. I sent you the video. You can actually adjust your top link and push the front of the machine down, and you can even go more than 2 inches. I don't know anything that would be.
Yeah.
More than 2 inches, but right. there is some adjustment just with the top link there that can do it. And then, you know, it's this thing will hold. So when you read the description of it, it's it'll hold 4.9 bushels. I didn't know what that was. So, of course, as I'm kind of researching the situation, I'd look around. Well, a bushel is depending on what the seed is, but like I looked up winter wheat and, winter wheat is 60 pounds per bushel. So you could throw roughly 300 pounds in the hopper.
Oh, wow.
And get after it. And then, but it already weighs, you know,
it's like heavy. I said,
yeah, it already weighs quite a bit. So even that would probably help. So yeah, you can throw like 6 bags in there and just get the plant, man. And like,
You set your ratio per acre, right?
Yeah.
That's in your adjustments on the side of the rig, right?
Yeah. So, yeah, we talked about that earlier, the calibration side of it. You've got on your right-hand side, you set the gate for your biggest seed. So if you're throwing a big mixture, which I think that's what we'll do, we'll probably throw everything in.
Yeah, am I not?
And it's got these little deals in there that kind of keep it all stirred up as you're driving. So we have no chance of just planting one seed.
Oh, okay.
So cool. It's got little paddles in there that stir it up, not to mention, you know, the way the hopper's built, it kind of tapers down. So everything's going to be shook up anyway.
Right, right.
So on the right-hand side of it, you've got a setting for your seed. You set it towards the biggest seed, and in the manual it tells you if you're planting this, set it at 2, set it at 3, or whatever.
Right.
And I was watching a lot of guys, you know, if you're planting corn or beans or whatever, they were talking about, well, you know, each year it's kind of like acorn crops, right? In a good year, your acorns will be really, really big, and a bad year will be small. Same thing with bean seeds. So you can't go by the book exactly, because if you set it too small, it'll actually crack that seed, and you're planting a whole field. Yeah. And so you always got to do that test, which.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then the other side of it is the gear. So it tells you, it basically sets your pounds per acre by that way.
Okay. So, and that's a revolution of a wheel, right? Yeah,
that's your gotcha. Drive wheel. Yeah. And there's a gear inside there, so you loosen all these little set screws and just crank it. Super easy. I mean, compared to the other ones I saw, this thing sets up easy.
Yeah, I bet. I bet.
And
so your germination, too, right, is supposed to be off the charts because
pretty much 100%.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about washing because you didn't till it up.
Exactly.
So, you don't have to worry about flooding out.
Yeah.
You know. It kind of covers a lot of the issues that you have in doing what we do.
Exactly. Well, you know, it's like, I didn't know I had like a washout problem until you flew the drone on my food plot. Yeah. It's like, oh, wow, I got like a pretty good sized little creek that runs through there. And didn't even, you know, from the ground level, you can't really see it.
Yeah, you don't, you're not aware.
And this from tilling and raking.
Sure.
And, you know, it does have that downhill slope. But this, I mean, yeah.
That alleviates that issue. You figure out what your seed depth is. You set the machine. You're done.
Yeah.
You're done. And then, like you said, you're going to be able to put enough seed in your hopper that you'll be able to do all of your things in one fell swoop.
Yeah, exactly. That's
pretty awesome, man. Golly. So, and if I'm not mistaken, you set that dial for the biggest seed.
Yeah.
But then you can mix your seeds all together.
Yeah. You can put anything you want to as long as it's
smaller.
As long as it's big enough, you know.
That's crazy.
I would. Which you wouldn't probably ever do this, but I would assume if you had like a clover seed or something, you'd probably want to just stick with the clover seed because, you know, that's super, super tiny.
Sure, sure.
If you're doing something larger with that, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
We've been talking about your plot screen. Like, dude, what if we had this drill
and that
plot screen? You had, you know, row after row after row of it. Like,
well, see, part of the issue with the plot screen is that you.
The depth.
Yeah. You know, the seed gets pushed down too far.
Yeah.
It's tilled up. So when it rains, it washes. It
down farther, washes away.
Yeah. So this is going to alleviate.
Yeah. I think it might be. I'm kind of anxious. I wish we had had it more. I said, out there earlier, we walked around your place like, man, I wish I would have had I wish we'd have had this drill before we did even the switchgrass.
I know
what difference, better. Of course, I mean, mine's going gangbusters right now that I frost seeded last year. I couldn't imagine being too much better than
sure. Well, what we're going to need to do just on that aspect is I kind of talked to you about it. I think we need to, because I'm an old school tiller guy, been planting like that for years and years, so I would like to do like one plot one way and one the other just to compete them.
Yeah.
But the overall goal, that's just part of the good of this of this machine.
Yeah.
It's a soil building.
Exactly.
System.
And that's kind of what I was going into. Yeah. You know, we've been tilling and, you know, hand seeding our plots forever and it always turns out fine.
Sure.
You know, but my thinking was like, how much seed is on top of the ground or too low below the ground?
Sure.
And how much are we flinging in the woods and like
all how much this wasted
or,
seed is?
Or, you know, well, how much seed you put out per acre? I don't know. I put, you know, I had a 50-pound bag. I put it all in this area.
Right.
I don't know if I'm doing it the right ratio or the wrong ratio. We've always been kind of over seeders when it comes to everything.
Yeah.
But so I think this will be, you know, it'll be dialed
precise.
In.
Precise.
Not to, you know, like I said, the dialing in part of it. Yeah, it's no other drill I looked at has this thing. So this one was kind of developed by like hunters. It's not really a farm deal. You can, but it's not really, you know, they got like Genesis 10s, which are, you know, 10 foot wide.
Right. Right.
But, so you take this tray out, flip it over, crank the wheel until your meter says 0.2 acres, or basically everybody says 26 revolutions.
Yeah.
You take that seed out, throw it in a bucket, measure it. And on the Genesis 3, it's like you take the weight of that and you multiply it by like 0.36. And that gives you your seed rate per acre. So then you can go and adjust your gear according to that if you want more.
That's pretty awesome, man.
Yeah. So it's it's going to be very, very precise. Like you're going to know, like, hey, I'm putting down, if we want 100 pounds per acre of peas, we know exactly what we need to do to get there instead of like, let's get out there and start cranking it.
Yeah, let's just throw a bunch of seed. Yeah, no doubt.
So that's exciting. Not to mention, you know, the germination rate shoots through the roof. Oh, yeah. It has to, because there's...
Literally opening the ground, putting the seed at the right depth, and closing it all in one swoop.
Yeah, exactly.
That's pretty awesome. It's really awesome, actually, because as a food plot guy that's been a food plot guy forever, you've always got them issues of what we just talked about.
Yeah.
You know, you're either going to... You can wash, you can get too much rain, you can flood out. That alleviates all of that.
Oh, yeah.
So one of the things to build the soil is you can actually plant into something, right?
Exactly.
You just kill the existing crop or crimp it.
Yeah. Right? Crimping's the deal. We were talking about that earlier, but you know, I've been watching this no-till stuff forever. I'm like, garbage. Yeah. I got to till it on the back. I'm going to till it up, because I just like being on the tractor and like smelling the dirt. You know what I mean?
But, yeah. That's me.
Once you finally get past that side of it, and you're talking about, I mean, they're talking about by year, anywhere from year two to year five, you can actually get rid of fertilizing your plots. Because there's so much mulch and thatch down there. So, like, for us this year, you know, I told you, I was like, my rye's 5.5 feet tall. But I kept on brush hogging it down, thinking, well, that's going to go in there and kind of die and give me some thatch there to hold the moisture. But in hindsight, you just let that stuff grow up.
Right.
Seed into it and then crimp it. And, you know, you'll start to fertilize. It's kind of like, I feel like you probably have to kind of wean your property off the synthetic stuff. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Like you can't just quit fertilize it after 1 year.
Yeah.
But yeah, huge benefit there because, you know, the soil building concept of it, they're saying within that 2 to 5 year range, I mean, every situation is different, but like you could get up to like 1.5 inches of, you know, great mulch topsoil on the top of that.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty crazy to think about because really, you know, the way we're doing it, it's like, you know, we're destroying that top layer. And like I said, I've heard that forever. Like,
sure.
Yeah, whatever. I mean, farmers disc up theirs and stuff every year.
Right.
And they plant stuff in it and they move on and there's zero problems with it. But they're also probably using a ton of, you know, either A, they have Missouri soil or they're fertilizing.
The soil's already black.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. You look at, you know, in the Delta area or in the Missouri area, they probably don't have to fertilize because the soil's epic. So good already. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, so the benefits to it is, you know, the more you read about it, it's pretty awesome. And, you know, it's like I said, for me, it was like spray, till, I don't even have many times, but I mean, I would probably till my place.
Oh, we tilled it a bunch. Both of ours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when you get rid of that aspect of it, you're talking about fuel, time, not to mention that whole, you know, the layer we're talking about building up right now is going to be great because even before it's like, you know, we're, like I said, tilling, spraying, dragging, seeding, tilling, fertilizing, tilling, co-packing, dragging again, like, you know, tons and tons of steps where this thing alleviates every bit of that stuff off of there. So. Not to mention, it's like, you know, I don't know, what did we say last year when we did this my place? We walked, I think we're almost identical, 6-something miles with our bag spreaders.
Yeah. Yeah, it was something like that. It's a workout, to say the least.
Yeah.
So you've pretty much pulled the trigger on something that's going to improve your time.
Yeah.
Improve your germination rate. And once you get it set up and you learn it, then it's just going to be like, fill it and go do it.
Well, I said, we just take, you know, we could probably write it on the lid, you know, your top plot, your bottom plot, my plot, write it on the lid. Here's the depth. Yeah. You know, especially just if, you know, like we talked about last time, we'll probably try different seeds.
Sure.
I may do a little tillage dress this year and my mixture a little bit and see what happens. And, you know, we got to play around with it at this point and see. I like to do like a little area that's maybe my bottom plot, may just keep it straight 7.5 inch offset and to see if it all grows in thick. And then I made my big plot. I may, like I said, we may go in there and either offset it or cross thatch it somehow. And
And make it super thick.
Make it a little bit thicker. But yeah, I mean, if we can do the rye again, I was reading about the rye grass. You crimp that over and let it set, you know, that stuff, like, for one, it don't let the sun hit the ground. So it keeps everything cooler and more moist. It
holds the moisture, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you plant into that, common sense says you need less water.
Yeah. Germination's better.
Germination's better.
Right.
And the soil temperature will stay cooler. And even so, we could probably plant earlier. And if the spigot cuts off after we do plant, now we've got that whole thatch layer.
Right.
Holding the moisture and keeping the temperatures down.
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah, I think it'll be pretty beneficial, you know, that. that whole side of it with the water we battled last year. I mean, this could possibly help that out some.
But yeah, yeah.
This year is not going to help me any because I've already brush hogged all mine down. Like, I didn't know we were going this route until we were going this route. But
yeah, for sure.
But that big thick mulch layer, you know, it's like something else I read about was like, you know, you get all these the wildlife that's living in there, the bugs that live in there, and like a lot of the bugs are predators, like spiders and all that stuff. And it's like they'll actually kill off, you know, all the bugs that will eat your peas and get on your fruit trees if you leave that stuff standing. It's like the predator bugs will actually eat away all the bad bugs.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So, circle of life, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
That's crazy.
So, you know, we went out to my fruit trees the other day. You made that Camel Family Outdoors video about both our properties. And I was like, holy, man, we got apples on this thing. And there were some bugs on them. So I went and bought some $25 a quart fruit tree spray. You know what I mean? Which, not saying I don't have to do that, but I mean, maybe not.
They have
some
predators.
You never know. You never know. Yeah. Yeah, so.
So yeah. All in all for you then, and we, like, it's funny because we had talked about it, but all in all, it's like all of the gains that you're getting from it is why you pulled the trigger on it. It's why you went ahead and just.
Yeah, and I was, honestly, I wasn't that guy because, like I said, it was kind of a thing for me, like, oh, you know, all these, you know, we listen to a lot of podcasts and YouTube channels and. No-till, you know, saves erosion, saves this, builds your soil up better. Right. For me, I'm like, man, I don't get it. Like, to me, it's like the more you till it up, it gets finer, it gets better every year. That's really just not really the case because you're constantly just taking that top layer of good soil that you want to be planting into.
And tilling it under.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So that's something that was kind of a hard pill for me to swallow. And I finally, like, it started kind of eating away at me a little bit. So I started doing more research. And it's like, okay, I get it now. So then I started, you know, how I do. I started obsessing about it. So then I can do nothing else but watch videos and read about them and, you know, all that stuff, the benefits of the, you know, the non-benefits of it and everything else. And it's like, man, let's do it. Let's get one. So I'm really excited to see,
you know,
especially year two when we do have that, we can start building that thatcher. Like I told you today, it's like, man, I think I'll go ahead and till mine this year, maybe early, because, you know, my big flute plot that you lost your first dozer on,
don't remind me.
That guy, he'd made like a brick road in there.
Oh, yeah.
There's like bags of concrete, rebar. It was like a construction site. And we did a ton of work in there and got it pretty nice. Even a couple of weeks ago, I've taken my grapple and like digging up tons of bricks, and I end up scooping them up, box blading it all down. So I think I might till it up one more time and try to get my rock rake and just get it clean one good time before we do this process. But next year, I think I'm going to let either A, if my switchgrass comes in tall enough in my middle where I'm segregating my plot, if it comes in high enough, I may try to do a buckwheat deal. If not, I mean, if we let that rye grow, I think it'll be good enough because it was thick. I mean,
oh yeah,
the areas I didn't, the little kill plots that I didn't brush hog, you know, I sent you those pictures of deer bedding it, like it was, neck high on me, and it was pretty thick. So I bet that would probably be a good enough, thatch layer to plant into.
Yeah,
and
then, like I said, bet it would be.
So you go in there and plant into that, and just crimp it down or roll it down. Like I said, I'm gonna try to use that little coal packer deal as my crimper, I think, year one to see what it does. But if not, I can just roll it over and spray it. However we got to work it out.
Come in there with herbicide afterwards if you decide you want to do it that way.
Yeah. The only thing I'm worried about is spraying on that big plot is just the fruit trees. I don't want to get anything.
Sure.
Another good thing to bring up, too, talking about spraying and not, and you know, kind of worried about getting my fruit trees, is you don't have to spray. They're saying if you're crimping over a cover crop like rye, a lot of people use rye and a lot of people use buckwheat, but I've seen rye used a bunch. 95% to 100% weed reduction. Like, you have no weeds if you crimp this stuff over because the sun is not reaching the ground, but your seeds will be able to push up through it. So that means, you know, by year three, year four, year five, no fertilizer. You don't have to spray. You just got to bend over your crop from last year, just crimp it over, and you're done.
I mean, it's super clean.
Yeah. So no spraying. And then we talked about, you know, the benefits of the topsoil layer is earthworms.
Right.
Yeah, so I did a whole research deal on earthworms after the fact. One of the videos I watched, a guy was talking about it. I was like, let's see what these things do. Well, they actually put off, you know, as they feed, they excrete, like, really rich.
Yeah, topsoil.
Yeah, basically, yeah, much. Minerals and everything else that's inside of it. So every year we go in there and till up. One, we're killing some of them. Two, we're getting rid of that layer they like to eat. Three, all their little tunnels and all that stuff, we're destroying all that stuff too. And then we're bringing them to the top and birds can eat them. So there's a lot of predation there. And
sure.
So there's a lot of benefits to that. And which I'm pretty excited about, because I remember, like, when I was a kid, right? It's like I always had a bicycle and a fishing pole and I'd go down these creeks. Well, seemed like everywhere you turned over a log and it was like rotten, just nasty, dirty, thick, beautiful topsoil. That's where all the worms were.
Yeah.
Yep. It's like, so if you can recreate that like nature does on our food plots, how much better our food plot's going to be?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So that's a pretty exciting part of it too. I mean, and they also aerate the soil. So the washing and stuff. So, you know, like, we do stuff like at my work, and I do it around my swimming pool. I aerate my lawn, which basically, you know,
puts little holes all in it,
makes it fluffier, so it absorbs more water, more nutrients. The worms do that for you. So they say you get like a bunch of worms in there. Now, instead of the water hitting the soil and running off, it all stays there,
absorbs into the soil.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So. Yeah.
Another
pretty huge, you know, benefit that God's put on the earth for us. That, like, these dudes, if you can get them living on your food plots, it's going to be pretty good.
So you're pretty much just taking it back to nature.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that's kind of what what the plan sounds like.
Yeah. No, so I was thinking about that earlier today. It was like, think about, like, you know, way back when the buffaloes grazing and, you know, all those, the Great Plains and, you know, Yellowstone and these national parks. Nobody's fertilizing those things. Everything dies, goes back in the soil, fertilizes, and it goes back the next season. Boom, boom, boom. So we're recreating that with all, you know, without all the synthetic stuff.
Right, right.
And then for me, it's like, if we're growing more food, better food without chemicals in it, and the food is better fertilized and has more nutrients in it, we should be growing bigger antlers, right?
Well, I would think.
I mean, that's the ultimate goal here.
Not to mention the ease of it.
Yeah, no,
you
know, I know. Yeah.
I mean, like one season on it, dude, you're going to be good.
Yeah.
And it's like, hey, man, I'm going to, you know how we were before. It'd be like, dude, I got to do this property. Uh-huh. I got to do that property.
Oh,
and
I know.
And this one all before the rain gets here.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's like, we got like a day and a half.
Yeah.
You know, like, where are you at on yours? Like, can you help me? Can I, you know?
Yeah.
You'd be like, hey, dude, I'm going to plant all my plots.
Yeah.
Okay. Beep, 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 beep. Yeah. No, I'm done. Did you need some help with something?
Yeah. Yeah. No, so, I think it's going to be, I mean, you know, like I said, I like being on a tractor. So it's not, it can be a time thing if you have something going on, you know,
sure.
Especially if a rain's coming or
trying to beat the rain for sure. Yeah.
But, you know, with this deal, I feel like you'd be even good planting a couple of days after a rain. The moisture's in the soil.
Oh, yeah.
So you're crimping this stuff over. The moisture is going to stay there. So I don't think you have to necessarily do it before rain now. I think you can probably
You're not limited to that.
A couple of days after.
Yeah.
You know, you go in there and you crimp all your stuff over on top of this after you seed it. The sun's not hitting it, which means the soil's staying wetter. You know, it's like it's being in the shade, so it takes longer for it to dry out.
Sure.
Temperatures are lower. The moisture's going to hold in there. So I think it opens up a little bit of time for us there.
Yep.
Not time that we're saving. That's a no-brainer, but also time-wise, like, we're not rushed to get it in.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, it looks like 40% chance on Tuesday you want to go together and try and knock out all these food plots. Like, I think we may be good on that, you know.
Well, that alleviates all that, because you don't have the worry of the washing. You don't have the worry of crows. You don't have, because it's in the ground. It's planted.
Yeah. No, it's drilled. Literally planted in the ground.
Yeah. So it's kind of like a garden to a food plot degree, if you will, because that, you know, I like to use the word all the time. That's a game changer.
Yeah. Well, it really is. That's what I texted you whenever I sent you the picture. I was like, dude, I think this is going to be a game changer.
It is. It is, man.
All the green fertilizer are going to be leaving on the food plots. You know, that's pretty huge. Not to mention less fuel, less time, less dust. That was the only part I hated about it. It's like, if you're tilling before rain comes in,
you're eating.
You know dust. What you're dealing. You know what you're dealing with because it hasn't rained in a while, especially the last two planting seasons.
You might as well be stopped up for 2 days. You know, yeah, afterwards, it's bad.
Yeah, it's bad. Yeah. So I think the quality of the crop we're going to be putting out should be a lot better. I mean, I think that's going to be fun. I think we can do more tonnage per acre doing it this way because, right. I mean, like I said, your seed to soil contact and your depth is what it's all about, right?
Right.
And we guess on that every single year.
Like, right.
Well, let's till it. Let's throw some seed in. Let's
see how it does.
Let's drag it. And hopefully the seeds at the top are not too deep or, you know, so what germination rate were we getting? I don't know. I mean, we always had success with it, but
sure.
Can we buy less seed now than what we were buying before? Because, I, you know, last year I went way, way over on my...
You know you're going to be more accurate.
Oh, for sure. Yeah,
100%. You absolutely know that. Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, it's like you're controlling that aspect of it.
Yeah.
So... Yeah, I mean, instead of, I forget how many peas you bought, dude.
Well, because they
300
always
get, pounds of peas.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, so it was 300 pounds because it was like, I figured I got 3 acres of food plot and I'm going to put 100 pounds in per acre. So.
Sure.
And I still may put 100 pounds in per acre, but I'll know.
You'll know exactly
what I did.
That's, you know, pretty sweet,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, because the acreage meter on there will say, hey, this is how many acres you put in. And I know how many, you know, you do the math on it. So it's, like I said, the three things you worry about with planting a food plot, you know, depth,
right,
rain, how many pounds per acre.
Yep.
This does it all for you except for the rain. But if you're crimping over that stuff, you
it's
got
hold
a lot
moisture.
Better chance than having just open soil with the sun beating down on it.
Right.
Or the rain hitting it and burying your seed or washing your seed.
Yeah.
It gets rid of all that stuff.
So. And year two, year three, you're starting to build that layer.
Exactly. Yeah.
Of where you may not even have to fertilize.
Yeah.
That's
and you know what fertilizer costs. So,
oh, yeah. It's, I mean, super
that's
expensive.
Pretty huge.
Yeah.
So I wish we would have had this before you put in your plot screen. I wish
I know.
I'd have had it for the switchgrass. I mean,
well, you know, we're going to have to try that.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, I'm sitting here thinking, where can we put switchgrass
yeah.
with this thing? Because yeah. I want to see it. I bet the germination's awesome.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
The exact depth, and it's covered up with dirt, and we're not just like
sitting. Excited.
Yeah, before we were walking around with our bags, and like I said, we always had.
Yeah, no, yeah, we did good
for what we had. Crops with it, but it's like. This thing, it takes the guesswork out of it.
Right.
There's no coal packing. There's no dragging. There's no tilling. There's
sure.
And eventually, there's no fertilizing.
Right.
I mean, I say that. I mean, I don't know. I'm probably still fertilizing. Just because I want to try to get it as lush and as green as I can.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway,
yeah, for sure.
You may not as much. I mean, you don't know. I mean, I'm new to this whole deal, right? So, we may not. I mean, may go out there and see all that thatch laying on the ground and rake it back and have 2 inches of black dirt. And it's like, hey, we're recreating, you know, Missouri here for the first 2 inches. And that's all you need.
Oh, yeah.
That's all you need is that first inch, really. I mean,
yeah.
I bet we can get that pretty quick if we're laying over, you know, laying over thatch and mulch on top of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, this is like a pro thing you've done here. Does this make you a pro? Because it's kind of a. You kind of went to a whole nother level here, brother.
Yeah. I'm not a pro yet, but I bet by year three, I probably will.
You'll have it figured out for sure.
We'll have my place and your place documented. And
yeah.
Also, don't forget, you know, if you want some food plots planted, Whitetail Property Management.
You can make that happen now.
We got a no-till drill. We don't have to till your place up. We can come in and plant them and be in and out. So
there you go.
That is something we will do.
Heck yeah, you offered a whole nother service there, brother.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
It's exciting, man. I told her, she's like, well, do you have to have it right now? I'm like, no, I don't actually need it till like September, but it's on my brain and I have to check the box.
I gotta do it.
I gotta check the box, man. This is the way I'm built. Like, I gotta get off my face. Like, I can't just not, you know. I can't not do it.
Oh, so. I know, because I was like, you know what? Hey, man, we ought to think about that.
Yeah.
You know what? And then next thing I know, I get a text. I'm getting one.
Yeah, I'm doing it.
I'm going.
I read all the pros of it, and it's like, I just got to pull the trigger on it.
I was going to go with you, man, to go get it.
I know. I was
like,
wanting to kind of
it's my anniversary.
Yeah, anniversary. Yeah, so I almost put it off a week because of that, because so I was wheeling and dealing with all these guys. I mean, I think I had 8 different people on the hook that had them.
Did you?
And I was like, you know how I work. I'm trying to get the cheapest one.
Hey,
if you'll
deal.
Come down to here, I'll do this. If you'll meet me on this price, I'll do this. If you won't charge me sales tax, I'll, you know, now. So I was like, well, even when I woke up that morning, I had my alarm set for 4. Like, I'm rolling out. And then, like, man, I woke up. It's like, man, maybe I should just wait and see, you you know, I got like three other, four other dudes that are going to be texting me back and or calling me and saying, so maybe I'll just wait. And then I'm laying in bed at 4 o'clock, like, all right, I'm going. So get up, start making coffee and getting everything loaded, getting my chains and my booms and all that stuff. And then, like, I have to do it. And then I made a mistake. My wife, you know, said, I hadn't heard from you all day. Where are you at? And I'm like, Carthage. Like, oh, you decided to go? I was like, yeah, I'm on my way. Yeah. So another benefit I just thought about too was like weed seeds. They say weed seeds can stay in your soil for up to 10 years dormant without sprouting. So every time you till, you bring all those weed seeds back up to the top.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So that gets rid of that aspect of it too. That's why they say probably 95% to 100% weed reduction.
Oh, wow.
That's probably another reason why too. I just remember that. Yeah. So
once you cover crop it, and you're done.
You never disturb it. Yeah. You don't bring those seeds back up to the top. So you know, if we use rye, and we'll probably experiment with that as the years go by.
Sure.
We'll do some buckwheat. We'll do some. A lot of guys are even doing soybeans. Doing soybeans in the summertime, and then just planting your winter crops right into it.
So like, maybe something we could try there.
That's pretty enticing.
Yeah.
I just watched that video today. I'm like, man, I'm going to do that, I think. Like, because you know how soybeans are. They say big, big, big attractant. Well, guess who's doing soybeans around here? Nobody.
Nobody.
Yeah. So yeah,
for sure.
Plant some soybeans and then just start putting our winter plots right into those soybeans. So that's on the table for sure.
Man.
Yeah.
You gave us all kinds of options here, bro. All kinds of options.
Yeah, no, it's going to be fun. I mean, like I said, I think for you and me, it's going to be pretty easy because once we get it set for my soil and for your soil, we can probably just write it on the lid. Like, plot, that plot, this plot, it was set for,
right.
You know, our mixture. I mean, for the most part, I think our food plot series is kind of set. We may add some stuff to it.
Sure.
But around here, we've kind of proven what works.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. No doubt.
So I think we can dial that in fairly quickly.
Well, we've got a formula that's worked pretty well. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, I think you just improved on that formula.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
As far as for sure, like the germination thing is huge because that's always an if.
Yeah.
You just never know about the germination, you know?
Yeah.
And dude, you're kind of taking that out of it.
Oh, exactly.
Yeah. And then it's like, now you know how much seed, like once you plant it, whatever plot, you're going to know exactly how much it takes to plant that plot.
Yeah, for sure.
So you can be like super accurate.
We've done, the Onyx loops around our plots. We know, how many acres each plot is.
Yep.
So, I mean, I think we can get that, the first season, first planting session, maybe like, all right, let's get this figured
learn
out.
It.
Yeah. Yep. Let me drive 20 yards and see what depth it is, dig it up and redo it. But, we'll shoot all that too, how to set it up, how to do it. And we'll do before. This is going to be exciting for the Camo Family Outdoors platform too, because we'll have a lot of what ifs.
So you just gave me like a thought here.
Yeah,
let's go. I'm just going to tell you.
Yeah, brainstorm.
So we plant the whole thing and whatever we're planting, our mixes, which were peas, rye, and winter wheat. It's what we like.
Yeah, yeah. That's what works here.
And then right through the middle, we just do some brassicas in the middle just to see
what happens.
Yeah. I'll try one.
I want brassicas to work here so bad.
I know.
They're so pretty and they look so great.
I know.
They like add so much tonnage to your acreage, but deer just won't touch them.
They won't eat them, man. I don't know.
It's weird. That's what I was telling that farmer up there. He's a big clover guy. Man, it's like all the deer we kill around here are late season and they hit that clover. That's like what's left. I'm like, dude, if I was up here, I'd have brassica fields knee deep and turnips and everything else. Like,
well, that's where they work.
In my mind, yeah,
that's where they work. That's what I've heard.
That's what I would be doing. But
yeah, no doubt.
But as far as like the depth and everything goes, I mean, there's guys that's way smarter than me that's figured out that this seed needs to be planted at this depth,
right?
And this seed needs to be planted at this depth, and we've never known that, right?
Yeah.
We run that Dragomine over top of it and we pack it in and hopefully it's good.
Yeah.
And we had good results, but what are the results going to be now?
Exactly. Well, the cool thing is if you flip over a bag of seed, it's going to give you a plant depth.
Exactly.
A pounds per acre that's recommended for it. And now you can just hit those parameters.
Yeah. We do exactly what the instructions tell us to do now.
That's pretty cool.
Instead of saying, I planted 200 pounds of peas in 2 acres somewhere. don't know. It's around here somewhere.
Yeah, we flung them out there. They're out there somewhere.
Yeah. So, yeah, man, I'm super excited about it. I kind of want to plant something right now.
Yeah, honestly. I was like, what can we actually do?
I was out of my food plot last night, like driving around, like, oh, I don't have a seed in it. You know, I'm just dragging it around.
Right. Yeah.
Checking it out. So, super cool. I mean, you know, it's one of those things like, I don't know. I think we're going to have a lot better crops doing what we're doing before. And the plots are going to be a lot healthier year three, year four. I mean, it's because we're not out there taking that. And, you know, the more you read about it, it's like, oh, okay. Now I see what everybody's talking about. Because to me, it was like, this is a fad. Don't till. Cause erosion. You're wasting too much diesel. And whatever. But once you really start doing the research in it, it's like, okay, I totally get that. It's basically like we're talking about before, taking it back to nature. I mean, you go into a big, beautiful spot in the woods that has – you know, all these leaves have been compacted and rotting for like 4 years, and you rake some away or cut the trees down and let the sun hit it. Look what happens. Stuff grows like madness in there. So,
well, if you take, and this is the exciting part to me, if you take a plan that I've had for a lot of years, and you've got on board with me on how we do our food plots.
Yeah.
And you improve that?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I know.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Because it's already good.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
And if we improve that, dude, oh, my gosh. Yeah. It ain't going to be fair.
No, that's what I like to say. We've got a formula that works for sure.
No doubt. And so that's what I'm saying. I mean, now you're going to a whole nother level, you know, where you can control a ton of aspects that we've never had control of.
Yeah. That's pretty awesome. Well, it's like I told you before. It's like, you know, the thing plants up to 2 inches. And, you know, I don't know. I haven't read everything. We never really got into that a whole lot because we don't really care about seed depths. We're just spreading it out there and covering up with dirt. Hopefully it grows, right?
Sure.
But nothing's probably going to be over 2 inches deep. Right. And they say by year three, year four, you've got an inch and a half or 2 inches of nice topsoil that's, you know, been green fertilized by all this stuff. It's like, that's all you literally only need 2 inches of good soil.
Oh, wow.
And by year three, we could have that by crimping stuff down. Like, that's going to be huge.
That's massive.
Yeah.
Massive.
So.
Well, dude, I'm excited. This is going to be fun.
Yeah. It's going to be a blast. I mean, like I said, I may be hauling at you at some point this weekend. Like, hey, let's plant some corn.
Well, you know, we both have a sickness. And the sickness is we want to be able to do it the best we can do.
That's exactly
it. I don't care what we're doing.
No. Yeah, you're right.
And that's a sickness. I call it a sickness. Yeah. My wife will tell you it's a sickness.
Oh, I know. Mine the same way. And my son possesses that quality too. Yeah, and it's like, exactly. He was telling me something the other day. And it's like, well, you come by that pretty naturally.
Sorry, buddy. That's on me.
That's what you want to do. And if I get something in my brain.
Yeah.
That, hey man, I'm thinking about, it don't matter if it's a bow or a gun or a, you know, whatever it may be, I start thinking about it. It's like,
okay,
all right, I'm driving 14 hours.
I'm pulling the trigger.
Let's get this thing, put it on the trailer. Grab one of your CFO stickers and slap on there. When you get a hunt experience sticker and slap on there.
Yeah, for sure.
And start rolling around. And
oh, I'm working on that too. On the hunt experience.
Yeah.
We'll have decals.
Yeah. So cool. Yeah. I was wanting one for my truck. I was like, man, I need to ask him about that.
Once
I got this deal, it's got the RTP on. I was like, we need to put the CFO and the hunt experience and sticker that dude up.
I did that big
ballast box, you know, for my tractor. Cause you know, when we were over there with Rich trying to lift those logs, like stand on the brush hog, my tires are coming up.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'm going to buy a ballast box filled up with concrete. And I had a random sticker somewhere. It was like a American flag with some deer antlers on. I like plastered it on the back of it because it was there. America's my ballast box. But I can tell you this much. If I wouldn't have had that ballast box, I wouldn't have got that no-till drill off my trailer.
Oh, I bet.
No question.
She's a heavy?
Yeah, she was like, you could see my front tires are like, this thing is going flat. Yeah, she weighed a bunch.
Yeah, I can imagine, man. I remember asking you. I was like, now, hey, man, make sure your tractor can handle it because I hear they're heavy.
Yeah, I think I got about 500 pounds to play with. And it
so you're good.
It lifted up. Now, you can tell it's back there for sure.
Oh, I bet.
But it's...
I don't imagine the little Kubota can handle it. I don't think.
Yeah, probably not.
Nah,
I don't know. Because I think I looked mine up in my three-point it's a 40 horse. I think it's right around that 2,000 pound mark. So
I gotcha.
I think I'm pretty good.
I'll just have to hire you to come do mine.
Yeah, no, I'll just throw it on the trailer. Let's go do it. And I got, that'd be cool, man.
Plus, it's like one day though, dude.
Yeah.
Can you even imagine that?
Not really. No.
The chaos we've had in the last 2 or 3 years trying to get stuff planted.
Yeah. I was just sitting there thinking about it. I told you, I was like, well, I kind of missed the tilling. So I just like the smell of dirt and everything. And then I remember like tilling mine and then come over here and tilling yours last year. And like, dude, my lungs may be like halfway filled. I'm not sure. Like, hell, it was so bad.
It was horrible. Yeah,
so horrible. Bad. Because we were in the middle of a major, major, major drought.
We had 3 months without a rain, man. It was horrible.
You were doing one deal and I couldn't even like see 10 feet in front of me. Yeah. Like, I don't know where I'm going here. But so maybe I won't miss that as much.
No, I bet you won't.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, after a couple of years, you'll be like, what were we thinking?
Yeah, yeah. What? How am I going to get out of this tiller?
Yeah, get rid of this thing. And get rid of it. Well, dude, that's awesome, man. I can't believe you did it. I was just, when you told me that, I just cracked up and thought it was hilarious. And, I know you. I know how you think. Yeah. So that's pretty awesome. But yeah. We're going to have a blast with it.
Yeah. It's a huge step, I think, for the food plot deal. And like I said, it's also something we're going to be offering. You know, we have Whitetail Property Manager that we're drawing up properties for people and doing those things. And we do also, you know, within a certain distance, we'll come and plant your plots for you too. So
that's
another service we'll be offering on the Whitetail Property Management side. So keep that in mind.
Once we get it.
I mean, the thing is going to be easy to figure out. I mean, it's not rock. I mean, it's the best one I've seen. Like I said, all the research I did, it's like, once you turn that wheel 26 times, you need to go up or down or whatever. And it's like, it's pretty easy.
It's game on after that.
The manual tells you what seed, and it gets you pretty close before you even do the test. So
I'm excited to see something get planted.
Yeah, I know.
Me too. Here we're coming into summer. It's like,
what can I plant? Yeah. I wonder, when do you plant soybeans? I don't even know.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know.
I look into that because I thought about that. I was like, man, that soybean deal looked pretty tempting to me, especially if you can plant into the soybeans. Like, I'm not a big summer food guy, but right now I've got a pretty lush clover plot. So that's kind of out the gate. I've got summer food. So
Exactly.
Yeah. So, yeah, man, I'm excited. We'll have lots and lots of Camel Family Outdoors video to shoot with this thing, too. The setup, the calibration.
Be looking for that because we will document how to use this thing from start to finish.
Exactly.
And then we'll show us using it.
Yeah. And that's another thing, kind of like the Red Ezra Dogwood. There's not a lot of content out there. There's a couple dudes that are telling you how to do it. So, that's enough. But, I mean, we may be able to, you know.
We could show how to plant it, how to set it up, how to plant it, and then the results of it.
Exactly, yeah.
So, yeah, it's going to be awesome.
And the thing I was kind of thinking about, too, was, like, the calibration side of it. It's like, man, you know, when you do that, you're taking a little bitty number and extrapolating that over to 2 acres or 3 acres. So you need to get every seed, these are the things I haven't heard anybody talk about yet. But in my mind, that can make a huge difference
when
you're talking about 26 cranks and that's your number for 3 acres or 5 acres or whatever.
Yep.
Like,
yep.
So yeah, look for that. We'll document that well. And, we'll show about the machine and we'll show about the food plots and we'll sit behind some, you know, 170s and these big lush green food plots. We'll show that footage. So it's going to be fun.
I'm ready.
Yeah, I'm ready.
Let's go.
Last podcast, I'm 50. I can't be wishing my life away, but man, I'm ready to plant something now.
Let's go. Yeah. Let's go.
Yeah.
Well, dude, that's awesome.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see what comes out of it.
Yeah. It's going to be fun. It's going to be cool. So that's a big step for us, you know, in our
little venture.
In our obsession.
Yeah. And the thing is it's who we are, man.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's not, you don't even have to try. It's just who we are.
Yeah.
Exactly. You know what I mean? And it's so funny that you think just like I do. Yeah. Scary, actually.
Yeah.
It's kind of scary.
I wouldn't say it's a good trait, but it's a trait.
It's a trait.
Yeah.
We'll leave it at that. Our wives says it's a trait. That's what they'll call it.
We're blessed in the wife department for sure.
Oh, yeah. That was me. 24 years, man. That was 24 years.
Congratulations on that. Yeah, that's awesome.
And she's a good one, man.
Yeah.
I guarantee you that for sure. Yeah.
Mine the same way. It's like I said, I hadn't talked to her that whole morning. It's like, you know, send me a text like, hey, what are you doing? Like, I'm in Carthage.
By the way,
yeah,
I'm 400 miles away.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing. So, yeah, we're blessed in the wild department for sure.
Sure.
So, yeah, even a perfect example is I saw y'all's what you did on your anniversary.
Oh, hey, yeah. I was like, hey, honey, what do you want to do? She's like, well, let's go out the night before and we'll go out and eat and everything. She said, on our anniversary, I want to go fishing.
Yeah, well, I mean, what? Like, what
you're the love of my life.
Yeah, right. I know why I stayed here so long.
Yeah, exactly. I knew I liked you.
Yeah, that's good, great, man. Hey, that's in today's
crazy
temperament,
world.
That's a huge accomplishment for sure. So
absolutely.
Hats off to y'all for that. Yeah, definitely.
For sure. Well, guys, that's going to wrap it up for today. That's been the Hunt Experience.
Thanks for listening, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you.